And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Luke, good afternoon. Compliments of the season to you. Did you have a good Christmas?
Mate, wonderful Christmas. It was one of those things that you spend, a bit like a meal, spend forever cooking it and 5 seconds eating it. And I think that's sort of how the day went. The kids were uber excited, so it's nothing better than see them have a bit of a smile on their face. And I think Frozen 2 was a big hit this year. So
you copped that, huh?
Mate, I think I own one of everything.
Good on you. All right, we're heading into a new year, mm-hmm. and I guess it's very timely. We talk about New Year's resolutions for 2020 as they apply to financial advice.
Yeah, look, I think it's quite a, you know, timely sort of thing, with this being the last show for 2019. I guess we'll just touch on a few things people can think about leading into 2020, and it's a good time to sort of, you know, have that sort of line drawn in the sand, if you want, where they can actually have a trigger point to say, okay, from January I'm going to try and do a few things. And, you know, we've got a few things listed here, and I guess some of the things I'd be starting with in relation to, okay, well, it's great to have a plan, but what are the things that they should consider before they jump into committing to different strategies? I think obviously we've touched on other shows about the importance of a budget. I think if you're going to get one,
yeah,
have one and use it, because understanding where your money's going is a really good start. And I find, you know, from 1 January, you can again draw that line in the sand and say, okay, we're going to check and see where money's going for a month or two to try and sort of get a baseline, and then work with a budget and try and make sure that, you know, things like upcoming costs, you know, try and get in front of those. And, you know, there's nothing worse. One of the things we find a lot of people struggle with is the incidental things, or the things that pop up out of the blue that sort of push people off track. I find a lot of people get frustrated by that, because it puts a dent in their progress. And look, at the end of the day, that's life, and these things are going to happen. But if you can sort of understand where your money's going and then work that into a budget, and as I've said in other shows, don't expect anybody to go and live in a tent. You know, you've still got to live, all within reason, but you need to do something that's relevant for your cash flow and your ability to save.
Would it be wise to sort of think of an emergency type of fund, even a modest emergency fund, just for the unexpected? And, you know, they always say expect the unexpected, and it usually does happen, rather than sort of have to say, oh, where the hell am I going to get the money for this?
Yeah, look, again, you know, a great way of building into one of your strategies could be to have exactly that. You know, I always say to people, you know, keep some rainy day money there just in case, so that, you know, you can get to a point where anything over and above what you're doing, then you really have choices and flexibilities in relation to the use of those funds, knowing that exactly what you've said, you've got that, that little bin of cash there just in case for when the dishwasher blows up, or you need a new washing machine, or, you know, the hot water goes, or anything like that.
And, yeah, my pardon me, my rainy day money is pretty much like the season at the moment. It's drought.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like a lot of the paddocks we see at the moment. It should be getting watered, but it ain't.
Yeah.
And saving is one of those things.
Well, seriously,
that
yeah,
a lot of people,
it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of, it's always on the gonna get to list. You know, I find it's a bit like doing a will and an enduring power of attorney. I've had clients come in and say, yeah, I've been meaning to do that since the kids were born. And I say, oh, how old are the kids? They go, 35. You know, that's actually, as silly as it sounds, not uncommon. Because changing behaviour is difficult, and it's scary, and it's a little bit frightening. And, you know, it means you've got to actually sit down and look at where your money goes. And I must see 15 or 20 or 25 people a week and ask them, you know, do you have any idea what it costs to live? And 5 out of 20 would say, oh, yeah, we live on X. I normally get a shoulder shrug and, and I'm not sure how much is, but it could mean a very different number for many, many different people. So, you know, I think changes to budgets, cash flows, and just, I guess, becoming not immersed in it, but understand what's going on. Be engaged. I think if people are engaged, it gives them the ability to be able to try and make good decisions. Some other things that people can consider, obviously, are changes in salary or consulting income. You know, so if you do have that line of work where your income does fluctuate, have a plan now for months that are really, really good. Have a plan for pay rises. Have a plan for, you know, a change in your cash flow. Know where that money's going to go, because I find if people don't have a plan for those changes, it just gets swallowed up in the in weekly living costs. And at the end of the year, people say to me, oh, well, you know, I earned X and it was an increase of Y, but I don't seem to have saved anything, because they didn't have a plan that they could actually implement to say, right, that increase of this is going to go to this. It just gets absorbed in another night out, you know, a different car payment, a watch, and something else, which is cool within reason. But, you know, if people know those things are going to happen, you know, make the most of those good months or good quarters or bonuses and things that you get so that you can actually then, you know, make sure that, say, for example, leading into June, you've got money to put a contribution into super to lower your tax. You know, so thinking about when you're paid, how you're paid, and your ability to save, as we've touched on in other episodes, using an offset account is a fantastic vehicle to lower the interest you incur on your home loan and then be able to pull the money out to make a contribution to super before June and save $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 of tax. And with the carry forward concessional legislation that we touched on just 3 or 4 weeks ago, you could actually put in a much bigger contribution to super this year and really lower your income tax, especially if you're moving into retirement phase.
I was going to say, if you're about to retire this year, you know, obviously they're words of wisdom.
Yeah, look, and you know, I think we're going to wrap the show up today with some strategies that people can consider, and that's definitely one of them, because what you do and how you do it gives you more choice. You know, I said to somebody recently, if you break it down into two events, sacrifice or regret, you choose. And what I mean by that is the more you do now, the more engaged you are, the more proactive you are in the way that you accumulate and save and behave financially, the better off you'll be at the end.
Mm.
The people that don't, that want to live it up now and you know, be the big baller, come to me at 55 and 60 and say, oh, well, I'm going to retire in 3 years. What do I do? And really, in a lot of ways, your resources that are available to you are very limited. So, you know, I use that saying, and I heard somebody say it a couple of months ago, and I think it really resonated with me, a bit like you don't know what you don't know.
Mm.
It applies in all situations.
Exactly.
So I think these are good strategies that people can use leading into January to try and then become more engaged and then build on their strategies and make the most of their cash flow.
Yeah, and I guess, Luke, you know, all the best laid plans of men and mice, as they say, you can never foresee what's going to happen in the future that's going to affect this plan. So I guess the plan must have some degree of flexibility attached to it.
Oh, look, I think that's one of the key words. I think you've hit the nail right on the head. And that's why I use the analogy of, I don't want people thinking they need to go and live in a tent.
Mm.
You know, and what I mean by that is you need to work within your own means. You need to still be able to live and do the things you're doing and pay school fees and eat and enjoy the way that you're living and the things that you're doing at the moment, because part of retirement is not waiting until you're 60, 65 or 70. It's actually the journey and the things that you get out of the, you know, the things that you enjoy doing. So, you know, things need to be flexible. And I often say in appointments, you know, we need a backup to the backup.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Hmm.
Because things happen,
that's right.
And that's one of the important things that people need to remember, a bit like the budgeting episode that we did a couple of weeks ago, where we said if you get derailed, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm.
You know, just get back on track, keep going, because things are going to jump up and bite you in the bum, because that's just life. You know,
yep.
We don't know what's going to happen, and you know, we hope that we have more good decisions than bad decisions, or more good events than bad events. But you just roll forwards, and you know, you make sure that you're, I think, making informed choices. I think that's the most important thing. If people have one resolution into 2020, is I want to make informed choices about what I'm doing so that I can make the most of my opportunities. I think if we start with what people can consider or what to look for, and then what we'll do is we can talk about how they can use them as part of a broader sort of financial strategy. So I think the big ticket items are, obviously, as we touched on before the break, get a budget, set it up, get it going. For the CSS and PSS members out there, obviously PSS, if you can get your 10% contribution in, if you're not making it, that'd be my first port of call in relation to directing spare cash flow to get your contribution rate up to 10 if you're not already, because the long-term value of that is significant. Shop with cash. We spoke about this leading into Christmas.
Yep.
If you're going to try and incorporate a budget into your daily life, changing the way you shop is very, very important and very engaging. So go out and actually shop with some cold, hard cash. For the younger people out there, it does exist. It's not something your mother and father tell you about. Review superannuation fees and charges. Obviously, have a look and see what you're paying. And we're going to touch on that in a little bit more detail on the 10th in that episode or in that show, to look at, you know, what you're paying, what your internal cost ratios are, and obviously what your investments are. Check your insurances. That's another one where people say, oh, I've had this for forever, but my situation's changed significantly since we took it out. So if you want to review and get your cash flow down and get your expenses down and make the most of where your money's going, you know, I think checking those and making sure that they're relevant, getting them reviewed, because there can be significant swings. We had one just before Christmas, and there was a $5,500 change in the cost, and they maintained exactly what they had in a different structure, and there was $5,500 of savings.
Really?
And they actually maintained the same level of cover. So you may not think that there's savings to be had, but there may be other strategic benefits of looking at that to try and get it structured correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Have a look at your home loan. Obviously, if you haven't done that in the last 6 months, you could be paying overs. If you don't have a mortgage broker, give us a ring. We can put you in touch with one. We deal with a number that will be able to do all the legwork for you and get you one, an offset account if it's appropriate for you. And as we said in other shows, you know, having that offset base or that offset account as your base of your strategy stack gives you a lot of flexibility in relation to paying down home loans, but also then being able to make super contributions in June and use money in your home loan, which is a very, very good strategy. Look at, for those that are thinking about winding down their hours, 2020 could be a good time to consider the transition to retirement legislation, where you can continue working on a full-time or part-time basis and accessing part of your super to increase your cash flow. If you wanted to, say, come down to 3 or 4 days a week but maintain your lifestyle, then a transition to retirement strategy could be really good for you, because it'll free up some of the capital that you've been saving. And depending on how old you are, it could actually come out to you tax-free and not impact your other assessable income through wages or contracting. So that's a really good one for people to think about. Lower your credit card limits. If we're going to tie it back to budgeting and finding some spare money for other strategies, ring up the bank and actually lower your credit card limit. Because if it's harder to get access to, I find people, again, are more engaged and more aware of what they're spending their money on.
It's a psychological thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Look, I think if you give people carte blanche access to funds without any sort of consequence, people will, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And this is no different. So I find that that's been a very, very good strategy for some clients that have tried to curb their discretionary spending. And then obviously have a chat to the kids. You know, if you want to try and be a role model for the little ones, then getting them saving and getting them doing some pocket money or earning some money and tying, you know, cleaning the house and the car to some pocket money and then saving into something over time so they can see that grow. Maybe open them a little account and get them doing those things so you're instilling those good behaviours in the little ones. Because I find, you know, the earlier you are, you're exposed to these good behaviours, the more you can get from good changes of where money goes.
Exactly. Okay, some of the strategies people should consider or could consider in 2020.
So, look, I think coming off the back of some of those things to think about, use your offset account wisely. You know, save as much as you can into your offset account. If you don't have a tax-deductible investment loan, if you've just got a non-deductible loan on your home, get all you can into your offset account and then look to try and use that money leading into June to maximise your deductions in place of something like salary sacrifice. Now, people jump at you very quickly and go, oh, are you anti-salary sacrifice? I'm not anti-salary sacrifice, but I'm anti you losing access to money that you could use to offset your home loan interest.
Big difference.
And then make the same contribution in June and get the same tax deduction. You're actually not missing out on anything. You're effectively sort of double dipping with the same money. So get an offset account and use it religiously for your savings. Remember the catch-up concessional legislation. So if you can commit to a really good savings plan, imagine if you put $35,000 into super this year instead of $15,000. That's going to significantly increase your tax deductions and lower your taxable income, which could result in a larger refund and more money being saved into a tax-effective structure like super. So if you're in your latter years of working, these sorts of strategies are very, very important. Now, obviously, they come with certain caveats that you need to sort of make sure you tick the box on. But again, it's something that has been really underutilized to this point. Now, it is only 12 months old, but it's not something that you hear a lot about in the media or public discussion. So I think it's one that could slip through the cracks, and I think it's really something that people should think about. The other one we touched on earlier was the transition retirement legislation. You know, if you're over 60 and you've got accumulated super and you can take tax-free money out and then put it straight back in and get a tax deduction to lower your taxable income and accumulate wealth, it's another good way of accessing cash flow where you may not have the ability to save because you're trying to clear your house debt before you retire. So using pension money to make a super contribution, as silly as it sounds, you pull it out of one side and put it in the other. It's tax-free coming out as a pension if you're over 60, and then you claim 100% as a tax deduction going back into super. As bizarre as that sounds,
it does sound unusual.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's about having access to the right strategies and using the resources that you have to make the most of, you know, obviously your accumulation and your tax planning. The other one we touched on there was maximising contributions, so downsizing contributions. If you're going to retire, if you're going to use that legislation and sell the family home or downsize to a smaller property, get that money into your pension account before you turn the income stream on. That can be very, very good. Check your mortgage rates, and obviously, if you can lower your rate, direct the difference to super, because you're already spending the money on interest. Why not use it for something that is going to help you long term instead of get eroded with two or three lunches over the course of a month? Whatever your difference is, think about directing that to super. It'll help you from a tax perspective. It'll help you from an accumulation perspective. And the good behaviours will continue because you're already paying your mortgage. So you're not using that money.
Okay.
And I think look, they're the go-to ones for the start of the year. But, you know, everybody's situation is different. You need to cherry-pick the ones that are right for you and make the most of it.
Okay. Well, we can get listeners get more information. We better get the plug in before we leave here.
Yeah, why not? Look, 6260-4749. Office is back open on the 6th of January. The girls will be out of there to take some bookings if you want to come and have a chat and, you know, see if any of these strategies are relevant for you, or have somebody hold your hand so that you can actually kick off 2020 with some informed decisions. Envisionfinancial.com.au. People can go to the Knowledge Centre. Obviously, they can join that for free, and that's got a whole load of technical material in there. We've got the podcast, Luke Talks Money, the Strategy Stacker, on iTunes, and Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube, where people can pause and take out the key outcomes.
Fantastic. Always good to see you, and you'll be back with Leon next week.
We will.
We'll catch up sometime in the new year. Have a good one.
Sounds good. Thanks, mate.